Our scripture reading this morning is found in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 58. We'll read the entire chapter, especially referring to those last two verses referring to the Sabbath. Isaiah 58. And this in connection with Lord's Day 38. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up the voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have ye fasted, say they. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not. Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a brutish, as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness? To undo the heavy burdens? And to let the oppressed go free? And that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry? And that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him? And that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rear reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger and the speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. That far we read in God's holy inspired word. May God bless that word to our hearts. It's in connection with those last two verses, and I'll refer to those in the sermon, that we look at the truth of the fourth commandment as summarized in Lord's Day 38, question and answer 103, found on page 22 in the back of the Psalter. I'll read that question and answer. What doth God require in the fourth commandment? First, that the ministry of the gospel and the schools be maintained, and that I, especially on the Sabbath, that is, on the day of rest, diligently frequent the church of God to hear His word, to use the sacraments, publicly to call upon the Lord and contribute to the relief of the poor, as becomes a Christian. Secondly, that all the days of my life I cease from my evil works and yield myself to the Lord to work by His Holy Spirit in me, and thus begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, is the Sabbath a delight to you? The attitude of your hearts towards the Sabbath, how you and I keep the Lord's Day, is a good gauge of our spiritual health. We step on a scale as a gauge to find out where we are health-wise. We put cuffs on our arms to check our blood pressure. We look at the gas gauge in our cars to make sure we're not running low on gas. Do you think about your spiritual health? How is your spiritual health? How is my spiritual health? A good gauge of our spiritual health is, how do you and I keep the Sabbath? What is your attitude? What is my attitude towards the Sabbath day? It's one thing to dress up nicely, to come to church and go through the motions. Anybody can do that. But God wants more than that. God doesn't simply want us to come to church twice on the Lord's Day and go through the motions. He wants us to delight in the Sabbath, to keep the Sabbath, not just going through the motions, but to keep the Sabbath from the heart. That's what the fourth commandment is about. When it commands us to keep the Sabbath, remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. God prescribes a certain day, a specific day, in which He commands us to keep that day holy, to spend our time in spiritual exercises, to delight ourselves in Him. That's what Isaiah 58 was about. Isaiah 58 gives the history of Israel, who was guilty. The people of Israel were guilty of going through the outward motions. They brought their sacrifices. They went through those outward motions, and it looked good. But they did it for selfish reasons. They did it for themselves. They fasted in an attempt to earn something with God. They kept the semblance of the Sabbath, but they did it for their own pleasure. And you see in that then a reflection of our own sin, do we not? Who of us keeps the Sabbath perfectly as we ought to? None of us. And so again we see our need of Jesus Christ. We need the forgiveness that is ours through Him. We need His grace to walk in His ways so that we would delight in the Sabbath. That we take as our theme this morning, delighting in the Sabbath. I want to note, in the first place, the Sabbath day. What is that all about? Secondly, the delight that we ought to have in the Sabbath. And lastly, the blessing that is ours. God gives us, beloved, this day, the Sabbath day. He gives that day for our sakes. He gives us a day of rest for our sakes. And on the one hand, keeping the Sabbath is not doing the ordinary labors of the week, not participating in those ordinary labors. So in the fourth commandment, God tells us in it, that is, in the Sabbath, thou shalt not do any work. All of that ordinary work, God commands to be set aside. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, and all, even to the cattle. There's the negative. Don't do any of that ordinary, normal work. But then later in Exodus, God gives that same commandment in a positive way. He commands us to keep the day in a certain way. He says, this is Exodus 23, verse 12, 6 days shalt thou work, shalt thou do thy work, and on the seventh day thou shalt rest. On the seventh day thou shalt rest. There's the positive. And he goes on, that thine ox and thine ass may rest, and the son of thine handmaid and the stranger may be refreshed. God commands us to rest on the Sabbath. That's what the Sabbath is all about. In fact, the word Sabbath in the Hebrew comes from the word that means to rest. Sabbath means that, a rest. And now we see the connection to the Lord's Day, the connection of the creation. In 6 days, God created the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day He rested. The Sabbath goes all the way back to that first week of creation. There are some people who have argued about the Sabbath and have said, well, the Sabbath day, that's something that belongs to the Old Testament. We don't have to keep the Sabbath anymore because that's part of the types and shadows of the Mosaic economy. When Moses gave the law and talked about the Sabbath, that all belongs to the Old Testament. But you understand, the Sabbath was instituted far before. Many, many years before the Mosaic economy. When God created the heavens and the earth, He instituted, even before the fall, instituted the Sabbath. Why should you and I keep the Sabbath? Keep one day in seven? Because God Himself has given us that pattern already in the creation. In that week, He has given us a pattern. That's why the giving of the law in Exodus mentions the creation. For in 6 days. And by the way, those are literal days. In 6 days, God created the heavens and the earth. And then He rested the seventh day. There's the pattern that God gives us already in creation. Resting on the seventh day. But you understand, children, that's not talking about a physical rest. When God rested, it wasn't that He created everything and then after the 6 days of creation, He was so tired that He had to sit down and rest. That's not the idea of the rest that God participated in. God never gets tired. But that rest is talking about a spiritual rest. And it involves the enjoyment of covenant fellowship with God. After God had created Adam and Eve on the seventh day, when God rested, He, as well as Adam and Eve, had covenant fellowship with one another. God spoke to Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. They rested. That rest that the Sabbath is talking about is talking about a spiritual rest. That's the rest that God commands us to enter into on the Sabbath day. And that implies God did not create the day for sleeping. I'm not saying we mustn't take a nap. That's a good thing sometimes to have a nap so that we are alert for listening to the preaching in the evening. It's not forbidding that physical rest. But the day was not created for physical rest. The day was not created for that bodily rest. It was created for a spiritual rest. And that means it was created for activity. It was created so that you and I would enter into holy and spiritual exercises. That's the rest that the Sabbath is about. How do we know that? How do we know that the Sabbath was created for that spiritual exercise? Well, that's evident from the commandment itself. When God says to us in the fourth commandment, keep the Sabbath day, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That word holy indicates that we are to set aside the day for something special. Separate yourselves from the common and the ordinary, and especially separate yourselves from sin. That is the idea of holiness. Separation from the common and ordinary, separation from sin, but also devotion and consecration to God. Well, now to keep the day holy is to take the day and consecrate it to the service of God. We see that when we talked about Adam and Eve, they consecrated themselves to serve God. The Sabbath, that first Sabbath, was a delight for them. Can you imagine Adam and Eve in the garden fellowshipping with God? What a glorious thing that was. They delighted in it. That in the first place, the commandment as it's given in Exodus indicates that. Keep the Sabbath day holy. But in the second place, it's evident that the day is meant for spiritual exercises. By the way, the commandment is given in Deuteronomy. We read that this morning. Deuteronomy 5 verse 15, when it gives the fourth commandment, it gives a different reason than the fourth commandment in Exodus. In Exodus, it mentions 4 and 6 days God created the heavens and the earth. In Deuteronomy, the fourth commandment mentions that God redeemed His people from bondage. Notice how it reads, Deuteronomy 5, verse 15, "And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore, the Lord commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day." Why did God bring them out of Egypt? Why did God redeem His people from bondage? And if you go to the book of Exodus and you look at all the times that God gives the reason why Pharaoh should let the people go, it was 7 times that God, through Moses, told Pharaoh, "That they may serve me." God brought His people out of Egypt so that they might serve Him. And that's what the Sabbath is all about. God created the day so that we might serve Him. He instituted the Sabbath for the service of our God. And then just one more example that shows that the Sabbath is meant for spiritual exercises, that God would have us spend the day in a way that is a delight in spiritual things, that's evident from the passage we read in Isaiah. When God talks to His people about the Sabbath day, He speaks of that day and calls us to delight ourselves in Him on this day. Isaiah 58, verse 13, "If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor Him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord." God would have us spend the day in holy and spiritual exercises in which we delight ourselves in Him. I alluded to the fact that there are those today who deny that we are called to keep one day in seven. Who say all that Sabbath business, that belongs to the Old Testament. That belongs to the days of the types and shadows. But we say again, the types and shadows that came in with Moses they do not supersede the original Sabbath day principle. The fact that God instituted that seventh day for rest, for covenant fellowship, long before the time of Moses. So that even in the New Testament, when Christ has said He has fulfilled types and shadows, yes, He has, that doesn't do away with the Sabbath day. The Sabbath principle continues to hold. And now go back and think about Israel and Egypt again. God took His people out of bondage. Now we come to the New Testament. And remember that Christ took us out of bondage. He redeemed us from the bondage that was ours, the bondage to sin and to Satan and to death. He redeemed us from that bondage. And He showed that that was accomplished when He rose again on the first day of the week. Why is the Sabbath transferred from the seventh day in the Old Testament to the first day of the week in the New Testament? Because on that day, on the first day, Christ rose from the dead and broke the bonds of death, rose from the grave. And that's the pattern. Christ having risen on the first day of the week, now the pattern of the apostles and the whole New Testament church was to keep the first day of the week in recognition of our redemption from bondage. We do the same. We worship on the first day because this is our Sabbath. Significantly, the Sabbath day, this day, looks forward to the eternal Sabbath. Our catechism speaks of that at the very end of that question and answer when it says, and thus begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. What will happen on the eternal Sabbath? We will experience, like we never have before, that rest, that spiritual rest. We're not going to go to heaven and go to sleep and relax on a beach, but we will enjoy that eternal rest. We will serve God for eternity. We will give Him honor and praise as is His due. There will be a distinct spiritual character to that eternal rest. Well, if that's the case, and it is, then it also indicates that the rest we experience and delight in this life is a taste of that eternal rest. The Lord's Day, the way you and I keep the Lord's Day, is a taste of the rest that we will enjoy in heaven. There ought to be a connection there. If we are looking forward to that rest in heaven, looking forward to that delight that we will have there, then we will also delight in the rest that we experience on this day. Is that your experience, beloved? Do you set your day aside, set this day aside for holy and spiritual exercises and delight in that spiritual rest? We ought to see again our need of Jesus Christ, who kept the Sabbath perfectly. Not only on the Sabbath day, but all the days of His life. He spent His life in spiritual exercises and then gave Himself that perfect sacrifice to pay for us, to earn for us redemption, so that you and I could experience that same rest that He now enjoys in glory. We see our need for Christ. You understand then, God didn't give us the day, this Sabbath, as a burden. Sometimes we might see the day that way, as a burden. We have to get ready for church. We have to go to church. But that's not the idea of the Sabbath. It's not a burden to delight ourselves in the Lord. But that was Judah's problem. Judah was not delighting in the Sabbath. And that's why God called them to repent and call the Sabbath a delight. That's Isaiah 58 again. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight. Judah was not delighting herself in the Lord. In fact, they took the Sabbath day and they made it a day for their own pleasures. They made it a day for themselves. And based on the previous verses, if you read through Isaiah 58, they did have a semblance of worship. The day was somewhat different from the other days of the week. And perhaps they didn't do all the hard labor that they did during the week. But they still spent the day for merely their own pleasure. They did not spend their time worshiping God from the heart. God had given them a day in which they might draw nigh unto Him, in which they could delight themselves in covenant fellowship. But they were following their own ways. They were speaking their own words, making idle talk and indeed vain talk. So verse 3 of that chapter says, wherefore have we fasted? So they did have some fasting on that day. And then God says, behold, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure and exact all labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate. They were not entering into that spiritual rest. So God says to them, calls them to repent. Turn away thy foot from thy pleasure on my holy day. That same thing applies to us, beloved, that same word. God comes to you and to me and says, this day is not about your own pleasure. This day is not a day for your own rebellious words. This day is not a day about doing your own business. God says, this is my day. A day to enjoy spiritual rest. Call the Sabbath a delight. Now when we understand that, God gives us the Sabbath for delighting in Him, then we don't need a big long list of rules. Rules about how to keep the Sabbath. I'm not saying it's wrong for us to have some rules, say for our children, to guide them in the proper keeping of the Sabbath. But we ought to teach our children and we ought to remind ourselves of the principle. What is the Sabbath day for? And the Sabbath day is to enjoy and delight ourselves in spiritual rest. And then we can ask ourselves the question, am I delighting in that spiritual rest? Is watching television all day a delighting in spiritual rest? Is surfing the internet on the Sabbath delighting in spiritual rest? Is backyard volleyball delighting in spiritual rest? And we can go through all kinds of questions. Whatever activity it is, is this a delighting in spiritual rest? Is this helping me in the delight that I ought to have in spiritual rest? That's why God calls us to set aside our normal everyday labors. Cease from those labors, so that we might enjoy and delight in that spiritual rest. God doesn't want us pursuing those common, ordinary labors, even those that might earn more money for myself, and that money might even be given to the church. Somebody might say, I'm going into work, but I'm going to give that money to the church. But if God forbids even that ordinary labor, that labor that is profitable, much more is it the case that He would not have us participating in frivolous and vain activities. We don't need a list of rules. We need to know that principle, and we need to delight ourselves in that spiritual rest. Then we can understand why the Catechism gives the instruction it does as regards keeping the Sabbath day. When I ask the question, what doth God require in the fourth commandment? In the first place, it mentions that the ministry of the gospel be maintained. Well, there's an obvious connection. The ministry of the gospel in the worship services, when the gospel is preached, God uses that and causes us through that to experience and delight ourselves in Him. He uses that so that we delight ourselves in spiritual rest. There's the ministry of the gospel, connection to spiritual rest. What about the maintaining of the schools? After it mentions the ministry of the gospel and the schools be maintained, and the reference is to those schools that God uses to raise up men who will be ministers of the gospel and to train God's people to be able to understand the preaching so that they can enjoy and delight in that spiritual rest. That in the second place. Then in the third place, it mentions the coming to worship. After mentioning the ministry and the schools, then in the third place, that I, especially on the Sabbath, that is, on the day of rest, diligently frequent the church of God. Keeping the Sabbath means that I diligently frequent the church of God. To frequent the church of God means to come often. To come often to the worship services. And then it adds the word diligently. To come as often as we are able. We could say, well, God doesn't command me to come to worship twice. There's no commandment that says that. Well, that's true. But now we go back to the principle. What's the principle of the commandment? We delight ourselves in the Lord. And if you and I delight ourselves in God, then we want to worship Him. We want to come together with God's people. If we don't want to come together with God's people, that says something about our spiritual health. I don't want to be with God's people. If that's our attitude, I don't want to worship God, there's something seriously wrong. That's what the Catechism is getting at. That I, especially on the Sabbath, but there's other days too where we have opportunities to come together to worship God, some special days. Bible study season will be starting soon. That I, especially on the Sabbath, that is on the day of rest, but other days as well, diligently frequent the church of God. Why do we want to diligently frequent the church of God? Well, it gives a number of reasons. First and foremost, to hear His Word. A young lady who might be interested in a young man or vice versa. Imagine them getting a letter from their boyfriend or girlfriend and setting that aside and not even wanting to look at it. You'd say, well, there's something wrong there. You don't want to hear what he has to say to you in that letter. I guess maybe those letters aren't sent anymore these days. Now it's a text message or whatever. But there's something wrong. If we don't want to hear God's Word, we don't want to hear Him speaking to us, we don't want to delight in that Word. So that in the first place, we come to hear His Word. Secondly, to use the sacraments that are also a reminder of His gracious work of salvation. Publicly to call upon the Lord, so together uniting our hearts and speaking to our God in prayer. and to contribute to the relief of the poor, caring for God's people as becomes a Christian. That makes sense. But if you and I truly delight in spiritual rest, we're not going to be content only going to church as few times as we are able. We will want to go as often as we are able, because we want to spend our time in spiritual exercises. Is that your experience, beloved? Do you delight in that spiritual rest? We have to confess our weakness. We all fall short. If we delight in that spiritual rest on the Sabbath, the Catechism makes a connection to the rest of our lives. And it indicates that entering into that spiritual rest, delighting in that spiritual rest, is not just going to be something that we do one day a week. When it says, especially on the Sabbath, but then it says that, secondly, that all the days of my life I cease from my evil works and yield myself to the Lord to work by His Holy Spirit in me, and thus begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. If we have that delight in that spiritual rest, that's going to show itself in all of our lives. It's going to show itself in our devotions. It's going to show itself in our family worship. It's going to show itself in a multitude of ways. In this way, we will experience the beginning of our eternal Sabbath. There's a certain blessedness that Isaiah points to when it says, it makes a connection. First, it gives a calling to Israel and then to you and me. It says, if, in verse 13, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor Him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. There's the if, there's the call. And then it adds a then. In verse 14, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. And I will cause the high places, I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. In the way of keeping the Sabbath, when by God's grace we call the Sabbath a delight, when by His grace we regard God's day as holy and honorable, when by God's grace we use the day to honor Him, in that way God will bless us. Not because of, it's not that we earn God's blessing, it's not that we deserve God's blessing. Christ earned that all for us. He earned it all for us. And by His grace and by His Spirit, He applies those blessings to us. Christ earned forgiveness for us. Forgiveness for all the times we have failed to delight ourselves in God. He earned for us the blessing of sanctification so that He works in us more and more that we would delight ourselves in the Sabbath. And Christ earned for us the eternal Sabbath so that every single one of His elect, without fail, will be brought into the glories of heaven, not for anything we have done, but for Christ's sake. Do you delight in that rest, that spiritual rest? And does it show? May God grant that more and more we would delight ourselves in that glorious rest which is ours in Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, we are weak creatures of the dust. We fail to delight in that rest as we ought, yet forgive us, we pray, for Christ's sake. Forgive us and lead us more and more to delight ourselves in Thee, to see that rest that Christ has earned for us and which Thy Spirit applies to us. Continue to lead and guide us as Thy people. May we all the days of our lives set aside those evil works and yield ourselves to Thee to work by Thy Holy Spirit in us and experience then that eternal Sabbath. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.